my goodness, I could listen to that all day. Eddie Lockjaw Davis and my girl on the organ, Shirley Scott, with a tune called Cimarron. It's from Lockjaw's cookbook series. This is from his cookbook, Volume 3, from 1958. Of course, Eddie is on tenor sax, as I said. Shirley Scott is on organ, Jerome Richardson on flute, George Duvivier on bass, and Arthur Edgehill on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and good Lord, it's hard to even contemplate that things could get even worse. But we'll be talking. I just wanted to pat ourselves on the back just a little bit, not a lot, because you can distort your ego by doing things like that. But you will recall we talked about Venezuela and the question that was posed only a few days ago was, is it possible, given the fact that the President of the United States openly has stoked the flames of rebellion in Venezuela, is it possible it can basically blow up into something much bigger? And it has. And I'm returning to the conversation a bit because I want to prove a point, and that is that we, regular, ordinary people, if we stop and think and observe what is going on, we can pretty much, if not outright predict, but we can come very, very close to what eventually would happen. And this is such a case. The president's conduct indicated that the United States, that is, the Trump administration, was actively, openly encouraging aggression and violence against the duly elected president of another country, namely Venezuela. The fact that it did not get a reaction when, in fact, when you hear a president talk like that, immediately the next step you're thinking is going to be some kind of military action or war. And the minute he said it, I said, oh my God, they're really interested in overthrowing this man's government, overthrowing the government of Venezuela. And today it got even clearer still, because President Trump openly says that he favors the opposition leader, who is a right winger, but it is supposed to be none of our business. That matter, whatever happens to the administration of Nicolas Maduro, that is a matter for Venezuelans to handle. And if, in fact, there was a position that the President of the United States had, his duty was to keep his mouth shut until such time that he would have to say something if he felt he needed to say something. But he actually openly, and has been doing it for quite some time, openly attacking the presidency of Venezuela and the president personally of Venezuela, and expressing thoughts that heretofore we thought these things were not supposed to be done. This is not statesmanlike behavior. This is not the way a country is supposed to behave. When it takes a position contrary to the will of the people of another country, whatever you want to think about it, whatever you think about it, your job is to shut up until things become more clear, until you are asked to be involved. You do not go around saying he needs to go. I, Donald Trump, want him out. I have somebody I have chosen who I like, who I prefer to run the country, because I could run him. And my circle of friends, we can all get in from the get-go on divvying up the spoils of Venezuela, which, very coincidentally, I'm sure, has the world's one of the world's largest deposits of oil. President Trump should be mindful that as he does, so can others do to him. What if tomorrow people decided somewhere in some far-flung area, or even within the United States itself, decide, hey, you're not the guy we want, and we are working to throw you out by any means necessary. How will that go over? And we are not hearing anything, and which is the reason I was talking about it in the first place. Here is a president openly expressing his great displeasure that people in another country choose to do things a different way, that they have a different political ideology. And you mount a campaign of disinformation and misinformation and outright hatred against the president. You so personalize your hatred for him that you make a case nobody should feel sad or upset if mysteriously he should be assassinated. But you want to get out in front of that with your statement, your personal statement of disapproval that you don't like President Maduro. You object to him being in office. You object to him having anything to do with controlling what's happening in his country, whether you like it or not. You make it clear you're so dumb. I mean, this is such a dumb move. You don't, if this is the way you feel, common sense would or should tell you to keep your mouth shut. So that in the event something really horrible happens, it would not be said that you orchestrated it or you had a hand in orchestrating something calamitous in another country. But he's so cocky. He's so tacky. He's so blatantly hateful. This is what the President of the United States says and has said it repeatedly, and it has become more and more clear, more blunt, what he means. And there has not been, this is the thing that bothers me, there has not been a vigorous reaction to that in Congress. This is not the way a president of the United States behaves. This is not acceptable. This is outright wrong to openly advocate the overthrow, and it's not going to be a peaceful overthrow. You know what you're saying? You're saying, I want him dead. I would not mind him being dead. So somebody in Venezuela better organize that. And we are here to help. That's what you're saying. You put the reputation of the country on the line because you have your own hates that you can't contain yourself. As a head of state, this kind of language should never escape your lips. Let alone that you are proud to tell the world. This is what I'm thinking. This is what we are thinking, the United States. That's what you're saying, because he's speaking in behalf of all Americans. We want him out. He's got to go. And please arrange it as soon as possible. We are here to help. We want his overthrow, and we know overthrows are not peaceful matters. What the hell is going on here? Not a peep from Congress. Nobody in Congress finds this appalling. Now, let's switch this whole thing to the other side. Could you imagine the uproar in the United States if somebody, even from some lesser-known country, some obscure country, even if an individual were to express sentiments like this about Donald Trump? He needs to go. What exactly does that mean? There would be all kinds of Secret Service and intelligence agencies all over that. No matter who says it, no matter who makes it known, that kind of sentiment. And we are so used. I posed a question because they're supposed to be progressive people in this country. They're supposed to be liberals in this country. They're supposed to be peace-loving people in this country, to whom this is vile conduct and behavior. And it's worse because it happens that the president was expressing his exact sentiments in behalf of all of us. Are we okay with it? A president gets up, a president we know to not be of sound mind, who has a propensity for shooting out his pie hole of a mouth, talking trash, and in many times imperiling his own country by talking trash. And the best thing he could say publicly, and he made sure that it was said that the entire world understood his position. And of course, if he thinks a particular thing, it means we all think the same. Do we all think the same? Do we all agree with Donald Trump? that President Maduro, quote, needs to go, unquote. He needs to be overthrown. He needs to be put out of his office. Not by any democratic process, mind you. And then he has a choice. He presents not only his disgusting idea and his wish, but he also presents his choice, his personal choice. Who should be next? And who should be next is delighted. Juan Guaido is delighted, a right-wing guy from Venezuela, is delighted to have the blessing of Donald Trump. Because that means if he needs a little military help, he'll get it. If it means that Marines and soldiers and whatever is needed is sent to Venezuela to execute Trump's personal will, he'll get it. And nobody in this country in a position to say otherwise, in a position to express our sentiments, has yet said, has yet objected to this president's conduct, stoking and aiding and abetting the downfall and possible assassination. What the hell is going on? Think about that. And he's not hiding it. So this idea of Donald Trump appeals across the board, one has to assume. The Democrats seem to have no problem with it. The Republicans seem to have no problem with it. The progressives seem to have no problem with it. Well, it's just Trump talking. Nobody has stood up for the American people, even to say that is not, those are not our standards. Those are not the things that we think. We know we have a long and documented history of this kind of behavior, and people wonder why there's such great anti-American sentiment all around the world when people manufacture and orchestrate havoc in their land because it suits their purpose. This guy who is now basking in the glory of having the sanction, having the approval of Donald Trump, he's walking around like he's already elected. He's calling himself the interim president of Venezuela. He is parading all over the country because, in his mind, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. Maduro is gone. Now, President Maduro did what any president would do. He severed ties, whatever remained of them with the United States. He severed those ties completely. And he gave all diplomatic personnel, all American diplomatic personnel, 36 hours. It's now down to 24, I imagine, to get out of the country. And the reaction from Trump is he can't do that. And even if he does, he doesn't have the authority to do that, and we won't let him do that. We're not leaving. You see what I mean? So you see the natural progression here. Even though Maduro is responding to the harassment and the aggression of the United States and the interference of the United States for the specific purpose of destroying his presidency and usurping the people's authority in Venezuela, we're supposed to accept it. Trump, ought, just out of his mouth, as he does these things, says, I don't recognize you. You have no authority in my mind, so I'm not obeying you. I choose not to obey you. The natural progression now is that it will come to a military situation. And Maduro, because the media, they're not reporting. They're just not reporting on this. And this is a major, major development. Trump has interfered with long-standing relationships, political and social and economic relationships in the region. He has dismantled and continues to dismantle the will of the region in the arrangements they have made for their own, not only protection, but through cooperation, a shared responsibility for lifting their countries out of colonialism and imperialism that had saddled their countries, although they do have some assets. But those assets were exploited a long time ago and still are being exploited. But the understanding is in America, America rules. We tell you what to do, and we tell you what we are going to do, and what we won't allow you in your own country to do. And I'm saying, for us, the great concern should be the fact that Trump, to this day, now that we are on the cusp of some kind of military confrontation, nobody is checking this guy and his criminal organization. Nobody. So here I come back to Juan Guaido, the now Trump-approved interim president of Venezuela. We have had, in effect, a coup orchestrated against a democratically elected government. Whether people agree or like him or don't like him is the same here. There are lots of people who can't stand Donald Trump, but they recognize he was elected. So they live with that. Even as they oppose him. Do we not understand where this logically will lead? And I called it out. You can't deny it. I called it out early on Donald Trump. Not his attitudes. He doesn't run that deep. He has only one attitude. I'm the boss. I own everything. I run things. And what I say goes. What the heck are you talking about treaties and bilateral arrangements and so forth? Who cares? I don't like this guy. He's got to go. And I am telling the world, I am going to help him go. I'm going to make it my job to make him disappear as president of the Republic of Venezuela. I want him out. Therefore, you should want him out. And you should not question me because I am God. I call the shots. And then we see the further implication of this president's behavior. And it is proof of how his administration runs. The administration's philosophy clearly is, we have all this military power, and we have all these people wanting to make money, and it's all about money. And I am willing to put into service in behalf of the people who are wealthy in this country, the people, who are in my circle. I will find a way to use taxpayer-supported military services to pull off the biggest swipe ever of some country's resources. I'll take it. And that's what this also shows. It confirms the operative thinking in the White House. The Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Coast Guard, whoever else. I could send them supposedly to defend democracy. No, but that is to help us take possession of another country's resources and assets, make it our own. We wouldn't have to trade with anybody. We wouldn't have to talk with anybody. We won't have to negotiate. No, we just go and take it because I have the military at my disposal. I could do that. I could send other people's sons and daughters to die needlessly for my private little plan. You see? It bothers me, and that's why I actually am diverting from my planned program today. This is something that should cause us as Americans to just bring everything to a halt, and let's understand what the hell is coming out of this White House. We need to put him under scrutiny, very serious scrutiny. We need to be open and loud in our opposition to this kind of behavior and a president who clearly has a different idea about what power is for. And he will find a way to explain it to the people that he so loves democracy, that what he's trying to do is to get everybody right, put everybody in line, to return them to these high-minded values. You look for yourself. And listen, and you're not hearing any objection. You are not hearing any objection to a president This is whether you like him or don't like him. Unilaterally deciding and openly pushing the idea of supplanting democracy in another country. I'll stop here because if I keep going on, I'll probably have some kind of palpitations or something. It is so startling that we are on the cusp of a major conflagration. Do you think, let's just extend the argument a little bit further. Do you think that Russia would allow this to happen? That China would stand idly by? Do you really think that that would happen if, in fact, Maduro and Venezuela were attacked in such an appalling way? If it came to war, do you think they would not take sides, and the sides that they would take would be in support of the people of Venezuela and the government of Venezuela and the president of Venezuela? Do you think they just let Trump run roughshod over everything? Do you really think that? This is what I'm saying. We don't even understand what predicament this president continues to put us into. He gets up and he says things, he feels better. But already I can assure you there are plans being made, there are plans in place, as a matter of fact, to counter any military action by the United States. You think Cuba would sit idly by and watch this happen? And that's how world wars begin. People doing stupid things for money, to take what other people have. And that's what scares me. I'm not ashamed to admit it. It scares me that this man ultimately is playing fast and loose with millions of lives in this situation. They don't even know. People have no idea. But it cannot. I will tell you this, it will not continue without massive bloodshed and war. And it all starts with Donald J. Trump and his pie hole mouth and his pea brain. We'll take this break and come back to your thoughts at 888-874-4888. Thank you for allowing me to kind of explode a little bit, but you see, I understand the implications and the enormity of a situation that looks like there's no big deal happening here. There's a big deal happening here. We'll be right back. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're talking about a major world-class crisis right in our backyards. And our president has put us smack in the middle of it. And we don't even know. We're not hearing any from any quarter a sensible word about what we should and should not do as a nation, and how this president continues to imperil us with his reckless behavior, reckless conduct. And we can see what he sees as his primary role. His primary role is to abuse the military equipment and the military personnel and whatnot, to use it all in service of a very targeted goal, which is to, under the cloud of I'm doing this to advance democracy. He is proposing, and his actions will certainly guarantee, that there will be a major conflagration from which we will not be able to escape. Clara from Philadelphia, what are your thoughts?
Latrice, first of all, I want to say I understand your outrage and dismay about what's going on with this president, by this president. I just want to make a couple of points. One is a question. My first question is, maybe my recall is a little off concerning the behavior of past presidents in this kind of situation. I mean, where there have been many times when I've heard presidents say, particularly Obama and his sidekick Hillary, he has to go. Syria, he has to go. Libya,
Yes.
they did it in a okay. The way
Yes,
they
and they
did
were
it was
wrong.
different.
They were absolutely wrong.
Of course, but he's more crude about it. This is the way of this country. This country began. This is what I keep. It's as if you have an individual with a strong genetic propensity for being, say, a sociopath. Unless you change, that person changes, recognizes it, so that will not change. And in order to change your genetic makeup, and I consider this country's genetic makeup one of thievery and brutality, you have to acknowledge it, and then epigenetics can be applied to it. There's no acknowledgement, Eutrice, by this
But
general,
this
this
is my point.
character of this.
It was
I'm
wrong.
this.
It was wrong not only when Hillary Clinton and Barack
Yeah,
Obama
yeah.
did their lethal form
Yeah,
of foreign relations, but
yeah.
my
But
point comes back to, it's not what they're doing. It is what we
I'm
are not doing.
that's what I'm saying. It's what the people are not doing. The people aren't paying attention. They want to be able to drive their cars as much as they can. That oil will help them. That's the way they think. It's always been this way. We've got to look at the character, the basic character of the people, of the populace. And that's what I'm saying. It's not
You're
surprising.
making a very strong point, and I agree 100% with it. But in the meantime, we have to sound, make that clarion call, and point it out while we still might have, and I say might have, a chance to correct, our behavior. We are
How do you,
allowing this to happen.
yes, how do you get people to behave in a way that's totally out of character, Eutrice? How do you do that? Nobody's waking up to anything. The other thing is, I mean, a few people, sure. But I mean, I always ask myself when I think of Trump, who is he representing and what is he trying to do? He might not be as, quote, mad as we think he is. He might be here to destroy this place. We don't know. He's allowed to do so much without anybody.
I don't disagree at all with what you have said. I'm saying that we have an opportunity to be proactive rather than reactive.
Of course we have the opportunity.
And this is what we have to do. And we have to call out all the people who say they're so progressive. All the legislators who say they're anti-war.
I don't think any of them have said that. Have they said that?
And living in a peaceful world. We have to call them out.
Who has said that, Eutrice? None of these people have mentioned anti-war. Not one of them.
Well, we have to do it.
You're doing it, and I'm proud of you for doing it. I'm just saying you're being, and I'm not saying to stop, but in my opinion, and I wish I were wrong. I hope I'm wrong. You're beating your head against a brick wall. It's like a person who's trying to tell the alert people, and they won't wake up, or they're awake, and they look the other way.
Yes. Well, for those people, they will have no choice but to accept blame.
The consequences.
That's right. They'll have no choice.
Yes.
It's not
That's
like
right.
nobody voiced an opinion or nobody forewarned.
Right. Yeah.
They have no choice.
Yes.
Thanks so much, Clara, for getting us started today.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Jim from Harlem, you're on the air. Hello, Jim.
Yes, can you hear me? Hello, hello, hello.
Yes.
Hello.
You're on the.
Yeah, hi.
Yes.
Yeah. You know something, Eutrice? This has been in the works for years. I mean, long before Trump became president, they've been working to destabilize Venezuela. Food shortages, yes. Energy shortages, all kinds of shenanigans going on. Insurrection. They've been working on this for years. Trump, matter of fact, Mattis, before he left, he spoke about the fact that Trump asked him early on in his administration, you know, can we invade Venezuela? And he said no. But I think you're on point with that. You know, there are other countries that are also jumping on the bandwagon, EU, other countries. I can't recall offhand. But I'm kind of wondering because if you recall, the Russians flew a couple of fighter jets, some long-range bombers, I think over the summer. And I was saying, well, wow, that's unusual. And I said, is that maybe a sign, a warning to the U.S. to hands off? And you made a point about you think that, you know, the Chinese will sit by? Do you think the Russians will sit by? And I'm thinking maybe not. You know, this could be a flashpoint for worse things. I mean, I don't even know where to begin with this. But this is just characteristic of this country. How many places have they invaded, overthrown? I mean, before we were born.
But, you know, what I'm hoping that we can do is advance the argument a bit. Nothing you've said so far, in my view, is wrong. You're on the money. The thing that we have to do is to up the ante on our role as citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what many countries are depending on to return this country to some degree of sanity. Now, that is not to say that there won't be a time when military action might be unavoidable, but we clearly see the progression here, and we understand why. I'm saying, why aren't we loud about it? Why aren't we calling the conduct of our government out? It's already wrong. It's already wrong. And the idea that it can get worse is frightening.
I agree with you. I mean, for the same reason, why is it that if this was, let's say, France or other parts of Europe with this this so-called government shutdown, people would have been in the streets fight. You know, this one ended a long time ago. But hey, people want to watch the reality TV shows, Blacks with Tattoos, Kardashians. People are transfixed on other things other than reality. This nonsense with this so-called shutdown. But you're right. But if we don't, like, put a match under our reps' asses, they won't. You know, nothing will happen. If the masses are just willing to sit by and watch, then, you know, nothing will happen. If the people won't mobilize, nothing will happen. I mean, you are on point. I hear exactly what you're saying. It's just that, you know, we're not in enough pain yet. Only then, you know, maybe something will happen. I don't know. But I look at these people, the folks that are going through all these, you know, the air traffic controllers, the FBI agents, online, you know, going to soup kitchens, going to food pantries. And, you know, it's, you know, very demoralizing. But now they're getting a taste of what it could be. But, again, I'm not going to deviate from the point. If we don't, I told my kids, I said, you know something? You know, we debate about voting. And I know you have issues about voting. And I understand. And I always say this. If you vote somebody in office, and then once they're in, they just pay you no mind, and then they come back for, you know, to re-election, and you vote for them, you're a fool. We need to, you know, unless we can get people who will represent us, and I mean that, us, and I know you're saying, where are the progressives? Where are they? You know, there's a new crop there. I know about the corporate Democrats, the corporate Republicans, but I'm with you. Where are the progressives? I haven't heard a word from them. Ocasio-Cortez, I haven't heard nothing from her. She's in my city. But, again, unless we make them, they won't do anything.
Well, we better wake up. If only in our self-interest, we have to wake up. At least we will be more or better prepared for the fallout when it does occur, because it will occur. Thank you so much, Jim, for your call today.
Thank you. Thank you, sisters. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Dee from Georgia, you're on the air. Hello? Okay, then we go to Tony from Orlando.
Hi, Latrice. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, thank you for calling in. What are your thoughts?
Well, I wanted to try to answer your question as far as why the American people are not up in arms about us dictating who should be another country's president. It's because the media for the past 2 years have been beating the drum that President Trump is a bought and paid for president of Putin. And the Democrat Party in this country became the anti-Russia, anti-Putin party for the past 2 years. Now, I believe that President Trump is not going to do military action. And the reason why is because I believe this is just a stunt on his part to, you know, he's trying to play the Democrat Party on that Putin card. Because basically now that's why you're not hearing anybody, you know, saying anything negative. If anything, I think there were a couple of Democrats that actually applauded their backing of removing Maduro, if I'm not wrong. But the thing is that the Democrat Party has put themselves on the opposite side of Russia. So, you know, any action against any ally of Russia is a good thing. So I think that, I mean, that's just my, you know, me looking at it, my, you know, in my little prism.
Well, I see where you're going with it, and we can't discount what you're suggesting, because it plays a part in the whole scheme of things. So what I want more than anything else to communicate is that we see unfolding something that will inevitably blow up and will be so out of control. And the one thing that could forestall that is that we become very loud in our opposition to the conduct of our country. That is the one thing that could keep everything in check. But we're not seeing any signs that there is a fundamental disagreement with Trump's policy here. We don't see that this constitutes a crisis or an imminent crisis. But then again, the furlough of more than 800,000 federal workers didn't seem to constitute a crisis. So I'm bringing it back to us. What is to be our role? Because we act as if democracy is something that a government does. It is what we do. If we can't count on people in Congress that we elect, or the city council level, or the state legislative level, if we can't count on some expression of disagreement with the conduct of the president and what he has now, his opinion becomes policy, if we don't pursue this discussion, we're done. There is no way that we could win at anything. Thanks so much, Chris, for calling in. Was that Chris? I'm sure I made my notes funny. Jim from Harlem, we talked with him. Steve from New York.
Hi, Eutrice. How are you?
Okay, how are you?
I'm about as angry as you are, and this is one of the few times I'm calling in. I'm just outraged at what they've done to Venezuela, and it makes me crazy. Of course, it's what's been going on forever. Look what we did with Allende when we brought in Pinochet. That was, who was that? That was Kissinger. What we did by bringing in the Shah in Iran, this is American hegemony, and it's still going on. And I am totally frustrated because nobody seems to be outraged anymore. Even my partner, who is a very bright and knowledgeable woman, when I was railing today against this crap that's happening to Venezuela, you know, her answer was, this is the way America behaves. I just don't see any way we can rally people to action. Even the Black Lives Matter things, when I was living in New York City, I was out almost every night. I couldn't get any of my friends to go out with me, okay? And these are all progressive people who are telling me I was doing God's work. So I'm really in despair. It's one reason I moved out of the city. I'm in upstate New York. I just don't know what to do. But I want to thank you for bringing this point up. I totally agree with what you say, and I'm easily as angry as you are.
Well, thank you. It's good to know that I have company. So we could hold on to each other.
Unfortunately, we need a lot more, but keep it up, you know. I'm ready to do anything, but I just don't see anything happening.
Yes, unfortunately, we have to admit that that is true. And that's why
I just don't think it's
railing
going
against
to happen.
It.
And you ought to see the politics of the people up here. I'm in the woods now. And while it's nice and very nice because I don't have to see that many folks, these people, their politics are insane. I mean, it's just beyond the beyond. Anyway, take care, and I hope you feel well. Okay? Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for your call. And that brings us to the end of our program today. We really need to pay attention to this. In the same way that we dealt with or are beginning to deal with what is planned for Puerto Rico. These things are not small things. They're not incidental. How you take or retake an entire island nation and you play with it however you want to. You don't care about Puerto Rican people. You don't care about what happens to their future. You just have the power to do whatever you want to do and to back it up with a world-class military. we have to rejoin the fight. We have to let it be known that this does not come up to our standards. These are not our standards. We don't agree. So think about that. And thank you so much for indulging me today. I really went nuts about it. And I didn't even sleep well thinking about what is happening and unfolding before our eyes, but more so the stunning silence. We'll see each other tomorrow. Thanks so much for being with me today.